All right. We were in chapter 15. In chapter 15, so what we really discussed last week, and unfortunate that Sarah wasn't here. She was off gallivanting around the country with others. Because, now that's the woman you have to thank for these sheets. Now, I wonder if there's a copy left for her. All right. What we did last week was one of the things that Sarah has been asking me to do now for the longest time. We learned about Azariahu, king of Yehuda, about whom very, very little is said. Very little is said here in Malachim. All it says is one pasuk. In chapter 15, pasuk 5, Vayinaga Hashem et Hamelech Vayihi Mitzora Ad Yom Moto. That's Malachim Bet, chapter 15, pasuk 5. So what I want Sarah to know is this one pasuk that God struck down the king, and the king was a leper until the day of his death. Vayeshev Beit HaChofshet, and he lived in a sort of a free quarantined house outside of the city of Yerushalayim. V'Yotam ben Hamelach al Abayit, and Yotam, the son of the king, was in charge of the house. He was the regent. Shofet at Am Haaretz, he judged the people of the land. One pasuk, and this one pasuk takes an entire chapter in Sefer Divrei Hayom to explain to us precisely what it was that happened. That the king, who here is Azariahu, and in Divrei Hayomim he is Uziyahu. Uziyahu, who is king for how many years? I asked it. 52 years. And the last 25 years of his reign, he is isolated from the rest of the country, and there is, his son is the one who rules in his stead. Of all things, I found a medrash. I'd like to read a medrash to you. Now, we're in Malachim Bet. If I'm not mistaken, it was 26. The whole story, so I'll say it briefly, the story there was that the king one day decided to go into the Beth Hamikdash and bring Ketoret. And 80 Kohanim surrounded him and told him, stop, don't do it. You're not permitted to. You're not allowed to do it. Let me read. Just let me read a few. So I'll give you briefly again Uziyahu. Uziyahu was a king of tremendous accomplishments. He conquered, he built, he fortified, he had initiative, he was inventive, he created new implements of war. Uziyahu was an outstanding and an exceptional king who went a step too far. And the Melech Yehuda, yes, I'm sorry. It's Melech Yehuda. It's Melech Yehuda. And then he decides that he wants to go into the Beis HaMikdash and bring Ketores. And the Pasuk says, I'm reading now from Divrei Hayamim Bet, chapter 26. You don't have to look there, but just trust me. He is surrounded. By whom? Here it can be confusing, but listen. The king, you know, I think maybe that's the reason why here he is, in Malachim he's referred to as Azariahu. In Divrei Hayamim he's referred to as Uziyahu. And who is the Kohen Gadol? Azariahu. Which means, therefore, in Divrei Hayamim, if they would refer to the king as Uziyahu, as Azariahu, it would have to be an Azariahu said to Azariahu. So the pasuk says in Divrei Ayamim Bet, chapter 26, pasuk 17, Vayovo Akrov Azaryahu HaKohen V'Imo Kohanim LaShem Shmonim Bereichayel, Azaryahu the Kohen Gadol, together with 80 Kohanim, come after the king. Vayandu Al Uzziyahu HaMelech, and they stood before Uzziyahu the king. Vayomru Lo, and they said to him, Lo Lecho Uzziyahu LaHakdir LaShem, you don't have a right to bring incense before God. This is for the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, who have been sanctified to bring Ketores. Say, min ha-mikdash. Go out of the Mikdash. Kimo alto. You have sinned by coming in here in order to bring Ketores. This is not going to bring you honor from God. And then it says, Vayizaf Uzziyahu became angry, Upiyado Mikteret Lahakter, and he's holding a pen with which to bring the incense, Upizafo Imakarnim, as he gets angry with the Karnim, Batsarat, Zorcha Mimitzko, the Tzarat came out on his forehead, Lifnei Akarnim, Bevet Hashem, Be'al Limizbah Hakterim. Vayifanel of Azaryahu, Kohen Arosh, Azaryahu, the Kohen Gadol, turned to him and he said, and all of the Kohanim are there, v'hinehu mitzora b'mitzvah, they all turn and they see that he's a mitzora. V'yavilu misham, they hurried him out. V'gamhu nitchaf, let's say, this is important. Not only are they hurrying him out of the Beis HaMikdash, he is hurrying. He realizes that he's made a tragic mistake, and he realizes that he has no business being in the Beit HaMikdash. So he hurries out, ki nig'o Hashem, because God had struck him. And Uzziyahu the king was a mitzvah until the day of his death, and he lived in the in this house, Hakoshit Mitzorah, King Nigzar mi Beit Hashem, he had been torn out of the house of God. The Yosem to know, Al Beit HaMelech, Shofet Elam Et Amaret. Yotam, we're going to see, is going to be a big tzaddik. You should know, do you know where his tzidkus, his piety begins? For 25 years, he rules the country, but he never assumes the throne. He is the ruler, in fact. His father is really in isolation. His father will be in isolation until the day of his death. Yes? Very good question. Very good question. Very good question. How many times do I have to tell you it's a very good question? The question was very good. And if I'm not mistaken, while you were prancing off over there in the Golan or in Banyas, with the Sanhedrin, you can take it, it's good. We mentioned it in passing. I didn't feel that I had, it's not as though I saw one of the first minutes, but it troubled me. Person had it at Sachat, according to the Torah. He had it for 2 weeks, had it for 3 weeks. And then, if need be, a person was quarantined until such time that he would be healed, and then he would bring a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. As I'm saying it, by the way, all of a sudden it occurs to me, maybe he remains a mitzvah until the rest of his life, because God doesn't want him to set foot in the Beit HaMikdash again and bring a korban. The halacha is that a mitzvah, on the day that he becomes purified, the day that he becomes healed, he is supposed to bring a sacrifice. Can't. You're unwanted in the house of God. I'm just conjecturing, I really don't know. Is it possible also because he's a king? And a king was taking liberties. No, it's when a small person takes certain liberties, no. But a king taking such liberties, this is a threat to the entire, to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Kohanim. It's a king.
Didn't he know when he went to Kohanim?
So then the next question was, what did he really have in mind?
Not Pinchas'
over-enthusiasm. I said last week, not about Viv's over-enthusiasm. And not about views over enthusiasm was the result of piety gone a step too far.
They were told
no, But they were struck down dead on the spot. Even worse than Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu lived for 25 years. They were struck down immediately. And what does Moshe say about them? Bekrovaya Kadesh. That's what God meant when he said, I'm going to be sanctified by those who are close to me. None of our view are great tzaddikim. But it is tzidkis piety that has just taken a step too far. You can't go any further. And of course, the great, why are they struck down? Why not some other punishment? Because there's a grave danger involved in the idea that out of an act of piety, one can do something that is outside the bounds of halacha. Because then you leave yourself open for all time. You leave yourself open to the possibility that everybody can go past for themselves and they can establish their own forms of rites and services. Because this is what turns me on to God. Therefore, I'm going to do it, and for that matter, I'm committed to do it. Nadav and Avihu had to be struck down on that first day, the day of the Chanukas, the dedication of the Mishkan, the day that Chazal say took 10 crowns. In other words, here is this great, joyous occasion, the first time in history that God dwells amongst the people, His divine presence comes down, and can you imagine, Atze Shterte Chanukas Abayis that was? Because that had to be established at the very outset. Nobody has the right, in a sense, to take the law even for religious reasons into their own hands. I cannot decide because it turns me on spiritually, therefore I'm going to do such and such. That's the most dangerous thing for Yahadut. It's happening, sure, of course it's happening now. Everybody is deciding, you know, what to do, what to... But no, I'm not talking about burning the flags. Don't get me onto burning the flags. Do me a favor. Don't get me onto that because I'll get... I'm on the other side. Don't get me wrong. I'm not in favor of burning flags, but it's overblown. That's it. They made up. It was a set. The whole thing is set up. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. It's minute already. It's a minute. A minute. No, it's not that it's fine. We're learning. We know that these people. I said it 20 years ago that the PLO recognized the state before the Naturi Karta. So right. So they haven't read. They haven't. All that this has accomplished.
All right. Okay.
I have to raise this table. What would you do to my table? It's all Sinei Yisrael that will make an issue of this. Forget them. Let them do their own thing. They've always been doing their own thing. Big deal. Of course, I could take another position. What about American college kids who burned the American flag during the Vietnam War? And tore off. It was a legitimate form of self-expression. So we over here, the wrong thing, you understand.
Kids
can't
burn the Tanakh after the Bagrut.
Yes, kids burned the Tanakh after the Bagrut. What's his name? Bedlock Cohen was gunned down in the streets of Netanya 2 days ago. I mean, why don't they worry about that? Huh? A gangster in Netanya. There's you understand, it's Chicago in Netanya. There's a gang war going on. And they've been after a guy. They killed his wife last year. They killed his stepson a year and a half ago. And finally they gunned him down. I mean, this is a Medina that we have over here.
This is not in the Russian
mafia. No, this is the Israeli mafia. Chotzchen, murderers! How many... And what about American kids? When American kids march through the United States saying, hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? Were they accused of incitement to kill? Talking about what's going on over there. The country's gone crazy. You know why the country's gone crazy? Because, yes, it's the press and the media and the extreme left that want to incite to hatred against. And they don't mean those Haredim in Meir Sharm. You know what they mean? They mean you, Sylvia. Smear. They mean you. They hate you. And they're using them to strike out against you. They hate anybody who's serving. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth is, that's your problem. Ignorance is bliss. And you know what? They hate you more than they hate the guys in Mayor's arm. Because you do go to the army and you are part of this country, they hate you more. Because they're able to attack the fellows in Mayor's arm saying, they don't go to the army. But you're the ones. They're scared of you. You're scared of religious Zionists.
Sorry, you won't talk about this, but you're wrong. Go ahead.
I think you're as bold.
Do you know what?
I know what I am.
I'm going to let her have the last word. That makes her happy.
Do you know how much self-control I am? It's not really self-control, because I know that any moment I can take a pasuk and read into it anything that I want and just wipe the floor with it.
But the answer is learning Torah for everyone.
Yes, I'm all for Torah. The Medrash says the following. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Torah that says the following. Well, you remember what it says about Noach? Noach is called Vayochel Noach Ish Ha'adama. Noach was called Ish Ha'adama, a man of the earth. What did it say about Uzziyahu? About Uzziyahu, it says that in addition to everything that he built, that he created, he also has a great deal of cattle, Bashvela Ubamishor. They wouldn't know about that because they weren't in the Shvela and they weren't in the Mishor last week. Bashvela Ubamishor, Ikarim, Karim, Baha. You went to Yavda? Beharim Ubakarmel? Good. Ki Ohev Adamahaya. It says about Uzziyahu that he loved the earth. Says the Medrash the following. By Uzziyahu it says ki ohev adamah haya, he loved the land. Shehayo melech, he was a king. Vehifkir atzmo la adamah v'lo nizkak la Torah. Miriam, isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Do you know what the Medrash is accusing him of? He spent a little bit too much time with his flowers and with his adamah v'lo nizkak la Torah, not enough with Torah. One day he had to be in the Beis Medrash. Amal Ahemsi said to the people of alerting the Beis Medrash, what are you dealing with? What are you studying? So they told him, we're studying about Hazor HaKarev Yumad. Torah says, the stranger, the one who is not a Kohen, who's going to bring the sacrifice, shall die. Amal Ahem, Uzziyahu said to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech, Ani Melech, God is a king, and I'm a king. No el Melech, l'shamesh l'fnei Melech. You know what's really fitting? For a king to serve before a king. Ula hakte l'fanov, and to bring Ketores. And he was overwhelmed with his own brilliance and with his own genius. Miyav v'yavo el hechal Hashem, immediately came to the court of God. The coin came after him, and with him there were 80 Kohanim. Amrulay, they said to him, Lo lecho Uzziyahu lahak til Hashem Uzziyahu, you don't have the right to bring Torah to Hashem, til Kohanim. Bnei Aaron, all of the psukim that we learn, the Medrash brings all of the psukim of Divrei Yomim, and then it says, Mi goram lo zu, what caused this downfall of Uzziyahu? Shebotam min haTorah vehifkir atzmo laAdama. He didn't study Torah enough, and he became a man of the earth. In other words, he went too far in the direction of being a man of the earth. The fall of Noah comes when he is an ish paAdama, a man of the other land. So, by the way, this is only one approach in the Medrash. The other approach, the one that I said first and last week, I said that I found that in the Mefarshim, that clearly it has to be understood not as a malevolent act. It wasn't an act of planned sinfulness. he really believed. He really believed that there can be no more beautiful way of serving God than a king serving a king. Understand what it means, a king serving a king? A king who needs serve nobody. The only truly free person is a king. And the king serves God. By the way, if you just give me a few minutes, I will create for you a whole Torah on how beautiful Uzziah's gesture was. Can you imagine? He bows for nobody. He bends before no one. He scrapes before no one. He is the most powerful man in the land. And he's going to go into the Beit HaMikdash and bend before God. What a beautiful, beautiful idea this is. But it's Shlomo Pitara. His intentions were good. His intentions were pious. But you know, good intentions and pious intentions can be destructive as well. Not of having destroyed themselves. All out of piety. Same thing with Uzziyahu. Because it does say about Uzziyahu that Vayar Sayosha Bani Hashem, he's one of the kings about whom it says that he did that which was good in the eyes of God. But he is struck down. And he has to serve as an example for all time. Can't go that one step further. Alright. Melachim Bet, Perek Tetvav. We learned some of these psukim, but I'm going to move with speed. Because only by moving with speed are we going to begin to see the disintegration of Malchus Yisrael. There will still be prokhim that are going to deal with great kings of Yehuda. There are going to be a number of great kings of Yehuda, and exceptional things are going to be told to us about Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. I mean, they're going to be tremendous kings until we come to the Churban. But Yisrael is now rapidly going to begin to deteriorate. So Malachim Bet Perek Tet Vav Pasuk Chet Eight. Bishtam Shloshim Mishmar Yishan Al Azar Yom Melech Yudi. Yeah, you'll have your list in front of you. We're going to go through the kings of Israel in the 38th year of Azariah, the king of Yehuda. Malach Zechariah ben Yerovam Yisrael Bishan Rav Shisha Kadoshim Zechariah the son of Yerovam was king over Israel for 6 months. He is the fourth, and he's going to be the last. You'll see number 14 is Zechariah on the side of the kings of Israel. Zechariah, 6 months. Before him, the only terrible thing that's here is this interregnum. I'm not going to deal with it. Not now anyway. But if you look at 14, 13, 12, 11, 11, or better said, 11, 12, 13 and 14, these are the four generations that come from Yehu. And Elisha had told him that four generations of his will be kings. So they were Yehoahaz, they were Yehoash, Yerovam the son of Yehoash, and then Zechariah. And with him it ends. But Yahzara ben Yeshemi did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Kasher also Abosav as his fathers had done. Lo sar mechatos Yerovam and Abad. He did not turn away from the sins of Yerovam the son of Abad. Kasher het at the end of Yisrael, who had caused Israel to sin. Yikshar Olav Shalom ben Yavesh. Shalom the son of Yavesh is the one who conspired against him by Yakehu Kavel Om by Yimisehu, and he smote him in the front of the people and he killed him by Yimloch Tatum, and he ruled in his place. And here, of course, this is the great moment of Shalom ben Yavesh. Most probably the man is his courage, his determination, his act. He is every man's assassin, and the one who now becomes king. He has taken over all this mighty power. The rest of what Zechariah had done is written the Sefer of Divrei Hayom, the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. That's the word of God that he spoke to Yehu, saying, four generations of children shall sit on the throne of Israel, and it was so. And that was 11, 12, 13, and 14. Shalom ben Yavesh. Malach Bishnat Shloshim, Shalom ben Yavesh, ruled in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, by Yimloch Yerach Yamin Bishomron, and he ruled some total of 1 month. He ruled in Shomron. That's what happened with all of his great plans, and most probably his joy and the elation at having become king. But Vayal Menachem ben Gadi Mitirza, Menachem ben Gadi from Tirza came up. Tirza, it seems, according to many, was on the other side of the Jordan. Menachem ben Gadi is from the tribe of Gad, who live on the east bank of the Jordan. Vayavo Shomron, he came to Shomron. Vayachet Shalom ben Yavish to Shomron, and he smote Shalom ben Yavish in Shomron. Vayimiteo, and he killed him. Vayimach Tachtov, and he ruled in his stead. Yet the Divrei Shalom, the Kishner Asher Kosha, the rest of the word of that which was done by Shalom and his conspiracy in Tzuv Masei V'Diri Yom Rav Yisrael. Oz Yaakov Menachem ben Gadi, who now becomes king, he smote Tifsach ved Parashat Ba ved Gvuleha Mitirza Kilo Patach Vayach et Kol Heharoteha Bikeya. Tifsach was a city at the outer limits of the northeastern border of Israel, someplace above Damascus. When it says about Shlomo HaMelech at the beginning of Sefer Melachim that he ruled over a mighty empire, it says that he ruled made Tifsach va'ad Aza. Aza is obviously the south. Tifsach is all the way to the north. And the fact is, it was northeast, just as Aza is northwest.
I mean, the whole
southwest. Thank you. Very good. You're so fast. Very good. In other words, so it you can imagine an alaxon, a diagonal line extending from northeast to southwest. Tifsach until Tifsach and Aza. He smote Tifsach, then Kolach Asher Bov, the Ed Gibuleha, and everything around it, meet Tirza. He had come from Tirza. Now, the question is, why did he smite the city? What did he do with the city of Tifsach? Now, those who say that what he did with the city of Tifsach is, Tifsach was near the border. It's the top, near the Euphrates. There were hostile groups in the city who wanted to break away, and there may have been, so we're talking about non-Jewish groups in that border town. It was more than a town, it was a major metropolis. And they there was this seething that was going on amongst them, and they therefore were not loyal to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he smote them, because they had not opened the gates of the city to him. He smote the city and Kol HaHoteh Bikeah, all of the pregnant women split them open. It was a city that was under Jewish dominion, but it was near. But the inhabitants, many of them, was Jewish and non-Jewish, you know? It seems the Mepharshim do say that the residents of Tifsach had been very, very cruel, and in a sense they were being repaid in kind. Otherwise it seems to us extreme cruelty. By the way, people, it's still cruelty, yes, I agree, it's still cruelty. Bishnach Shloshim V'Teisha Shana L'Azaryo Melech Yehuda, in the 39th year of Azaryo, the king of Yehuda, Malach Menachem Ben Gadi al Yisrael. Menachem Ben Gadi was king over Israel. Eser Shonim B'Shomron, he's king in Shomron for 10 years. They keep saying that he's king in Shomron because, remember, he had come from Tirza. He had come from the other side, and now he had conquered, he had become king of Israel, and was king for 10 years in Shomron. V'yasad Abay Yehoshim in the Dev, which was even with Isaac, Rav, Zorni, Kol Hatoz, Yerom, Benavad, Asher Ezra Yisrael. He did not remove himself from all of the sins of Yerubim ben Nevat, Asher Hechati et Yisrael, Kol Yom of all of his days. Bo Pul Melech Ashur Al Haaretz. Here we now, this is the beginning of the end of Malchus Yisrael. pull
or fool.
It doesn't have a fool, King of Asher. I never read it that way. Huh?
No, I said fool.
King of Asher came against the land. Vayite Menachem lafool, elef kikar kesef. Menachem gave fool 1,000 kikar of kesef, lihiyot yad, 1,000 bars of silver, lihiyot yadavito, so that his hand should be with him. In other words, he bribed him not to bring him down. And lahachazik hamalaka biyado, to keep the kingdom in his hands. Now, the Das Mikro here, sometimes you need them very badly. They make, you want to have an idea what 1,000 kikar of kesef. You want to have an idea?
So he says the following.
The weight of a kikar is 3,000 shekel. To Rashi Nishmos. Which means that the weight of a kikar is approximately 30 kilo. That's what it would work out to in present day calculations. 30 kikar, 30 kilo is one kikar. We're talking about 1,000 kikar. So what's that? 30,000 kilo. Which means that a 1,000 kikar is approximately 3 ton. And in weight of shkolin, shekel weight, it's 3 million shekel. We're talking about an awesome, awesome amount of money that he gave. Vayotze Menachem et hakesef al Yisrael. Menachem, it seems, he collected the money from Israel. From all of the mighty ones that had to give to the king of Asher, each person had to give 50 shekel of kesef. The king of Asher went back and he did not stay there in the land. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that we hear of a king of Asher. Aram, which had been the prevailing power in the Middle East, seems to have just disappeared from the scene. Because there is a new power that has now become the dominant force in the Middle East, and that power is Ashur. Ashur ultimately is the one that is going to exile the 10 tribes, bring down the kingdom of Israel. Ashur is the one that's going to capture all of Yehuda. And they're going to fall outside the gates of Yerushalayim. Asher then is going to give way to Babel. Babel is going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. But here it is, all of a sudden, Asher is upon the scene. No power. The rest of the things were done by Menachem, and everything that he did, is written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, Yishkav Menachem and Mavosov. Vayimlach Pekachyahu b'no Taktov, his son Pekachyahu, ruled in his place. Pekachyahu, yes, we have him there. He's on the list. I may yet take out the time next week to read, or maybe even this, we will see. You see that the two prophets who prophesy in all of these years to Israel, Hosea and Amos, two of the 12 minor prophets. And there are exceptional psukim there. Psukim that really give us an insight into the decadence of the kingdom of Israel. And that Ashur will bring them down. Bishnat Pekachyahu, the name Pekachyahu means let God see or see God. Pokeach Ivnim, God who opens up the eyes of the blind. Bishnat Chalishim Shomal Azariah Melech Yehud, in the 50th year of Azariah, the king of Yehuda, Molach Pekach Yahu Bevenachim, and Yisrael, Bishamron Shonatayim. Pekach Yahu, the son of Menachem, was king in Israel for 2 years in Shomal. Ayah Sarah Ben Yashem, the same thing. Well, son, I told you that many months I should have to use this song. You've heard that already by about whom? How many kings have we had in this? How many kings have we had in this chapter alone?
On the fourth.
We're on the fourth. We had Zechariah, who was the last in the family of Yerovan. We had Shalom ben Yavesh, right? Shalom ben Yavesh, who lasted 1 month. He's brought down by Menachem ben Gadi. Menachem ben Gadi's son is now the one who rules Pekach Yehu. Vayasada ben Hashem. Vayitcher Olam Pekach ben Remayahu Sholisho. Pekach ben Remayahu, who is Sholisho. Sholisho means his aid. Vayakehu b'shomron v'amon b'kamelah. And he spoke him in Shomron in the palace of the house of the king. So of course, Sarah is thinking, why don't we have the hay there, right? You weren't thinking of that. Tell me you weren't thinking of that. It says Beit Melech, Barmon Beit Melech, but you read it Barmon Beit Hamelech. I have a theory. You know what my theory is? There is no Hamelech anymore. It's not the king's palace. It's a palace of kings. There's a big difference. These people are not going to last. These people are not going to leave a lasting impression. They're just temporary tenants in the house of kings. But nobody over here is going to be outstanding or unusual about whom we can say that he is HaMelech. There's no HaMelech. Yes?
Sometimes it's marriage. Are they not written in the book of Chronicles? And here it says they are written in the book of Chronicles.
It always says that they are written.
No, all the other previous ones have. Are they not written in the question? Are they not written in the book?
Oh, that's your English translation. Hello, Hank Silverman, but behold, are they not written?
Each one is the same.
They're all the same. Yeah. Doesn't mean they're not written. Hello, they're translating hello literally. And it doesn't wash well in English. Hello, are they not written?
So why do they write those here and here?
Don't ask. I didn't write that translation.
Here it's written, and they, here it's written. Behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles.
Where, which pasuk are you talking about?
But the one we just now read says they are written in the book.
Which pasuk? Tell me a number.
That's 26.
I didn't get the 26 yet. You jumped ahead of me. By Yitzhak, just a moment. By Yitzhak. There we go. I'm not there yet. By Yitzhak. All sorts of shot of what Argov and Aryeh are. It seems that these were the names of groups of soldiers who were close to him. I don't know, Golani, Sayeret Makal, Duvdevan, Mistarvin. And he had 50 people from the sons of Gilad, remember? They had come from the other side of the Jordan. By Yimitei, by Nilach Tartov, he put him to death. Pekach on the Mayo put him to death. He killed Pekach Yahu. Pekach killed Pekach Yahu. By Yimitei, Tartov, and he ruled in his place. By Yimitei, Divrei, Pekach Yahu, Vechol, Asher Osa. Oh, some places it says hello, and some places it says he not. But it's all the same thing. And I am the... Yeah, but I say I created a monster. I created two monsters, Sora and you. You're a little monster. I can't always, and you see, therefore, some of them, for example, Dat Mikra always will simply say, the same idea that is expressed in other ways, in order that there should be, it shouldn't be boring. Give one, so that they, you know, more colorful, so they...
It's a style.
So yes, so while in other places it says, hello, but behold, are they not written in the... Of course they're written in the book. And here it says, it's the... Huh?
The ones that are always saying,
It's a question, but it's a rhetorical question. Let's go further. Today we're moving. What? בשנת 52nd year of Azariah, the king of Judah, Malach Pekah ben Ramayah, is going to show him, Esrim Shana, Pekah ben Ramayah is going to be very important. 20 years he's king. Vayas HaRav Vayini Hashem, Bosor Min Chatos Yudav Ben Avot, he did not turn away from the sins of Yudav, the son of Avot, Asher Herendi and Yisrael, who caused Israel to sin. Bimei Pekah, Melech Yisrael, Bought Tiglat Pil Eser Melech Ashur. Before we were talking about full Melech Ashur, now the one who is going to enter the land is Tiglat Pil Eser. Tiglat Pil Eser is really a much mightier king. He's going to cause a great deal of harm. We're talking about, though, we can see Aram is not completely out of the picture yet. There will yet be a struggle between the two, but now Tiglath Pileser, the king of Asher, came into Rehoboth and he took a number of cities. In other words, what's happening now is the beginning of the creeping annexation of parts of Eretz Yisrael to the Assyrian Empire. He owned that Ovel Beit Machon, that Yonah, that Kedesh, that Chotzar, Ben Hagilah, Ben Hagolilah. So for us, the names that you can do recognize, of course, is Gilad. So we're talking about the east bank of the Jordan. Galilah and Chatzor, this is all northern Eretz Yisrael. Those are also names that should be known. Chatzor and Galilah. And the name Galilah really refers to the whole area up there. Kol Eretz Naphtali. That's the land of Naphtali in that area. Vayaklem Ashura. The beginning, the first group of exiles. The first group of exiles, the beginning of Golus. And who are part of that first? Reuven, Goat, and half the tribe of Menashe that lived on the east bank of the Jordan, they were the first ones to be taken into exile. Yes? How many people want the
too
cold?
The word was fun, and now it got very cold.
It's already the tragedy is beginning to descend. By Yitzhak Kesher Hoshea ben Ela al Pekar ben Ramayahu. Hoshea ben Ela, he conspired against Pekar ben Ramayahu by Yakehu by Miteu by Yimlach Tachtav, and he became king in his place. Bishnas Esr Yosam ben Uziah in the 20th year of Yosam the son of Uziah. Yeter Divei Pekar Bechol Asher Asa Hinam Kitzuvim al Sefer Divrei Hayamim Lemalchei Yisrael. They are written in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim of the kings of Israel. I didn't even say anything.
Exactly.
A full picture you get only from all of the sources. And I may let you in, but let's go.
My question is, how come one king who had didn't learn from the other? They killed each other, and they did the same thing, and one
was headlined.
We don't learn from history. Everybody thinks it's not going to happen to them. Yeah, now we've had already very few. The last few kings were assassinated.
Also, one king made such a large bribe, and it didn't really help in the long run.
Does bribery
ever help in the long run? It's always a stopgap. Bribery equals appeasement. That's the word you were looking for. Appeasement. Appeasement never works. Yes?
I want to ask a question about this list of the kings of Israel. There are two places where they say interregnum.
I think I started saying, don't ask me about interregnum. And it says down at the bottom.
Pekah, the son of Remaliah, it says the Pharaoh here is that he reigned 20 years. And here they have the two in brackets that may have been 22. And where do they get their information?
I'll tell you, the fact is the following. That I've tried to avoid getting into the whole issue of how the years are counted and calculated. Number one, there are a lot of differences between Divrei Hayamim and Melachim. There are times that certain years are counted, other years are not. This is the kind of study for a college student who, doctoral student who wants to get a doctorate in. It's beyond our ability to deal with that. There are too many texts that are necessary. So just understand that there were problems or different ways of calculating. And there were even times at which numbers were used because of their symbolic significance. And you have to know when is the number symbolic and when is the number real. So you insist. In other words, you insist on getting me to discuss something. Something changes in the 36th year of the reign of Asa. You'll tell me two times Chai. And I'll tell you now that the year, the 36th year of Asa, is used in a number of places when it's not the 36th year of Asa. It can't be the 36th year of Asa. So there are all sorts of midrashim about the significance of a certain period of time in which certain things happen. Just trust me. Do you trust me? It does have. It has a great deal to do with trust. I feel that it's really a question of trust. I'm telling you, the calculation of the years is very, very difficult. Some of the biggest Rashi's here and in Divrei Hayamim deal only with the attempt at making the some sense of the. Of the years. There are years that are lost here and there. I mean, if I'll tell you that there are 200 to 300 years lost in the Talmudic calculations of the Second Temple era, you're always told that the Second Temple era was 400, the Second Beit HaMikdash stood for 420 years. Historically, the period of time from Shiva Siyam, when Jews returned from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, until Churban Bayit Sheni, was well over 600 years. 180, 200 years, like got lost someplace. There's so much written on that. There's so much written on it. Because there were different calculations, and as I say, at times numbers were used in a certain kind of symbolic sense. I can't tell you more. What can I do? Yes.
I think according to this list that Yehuda and Israel had different names. They didn't have the same.
Oh, for sure. Oh, that's a very, see, that's an interesting point. Yes. Elisha and Eliyahu were not in Yehuda at all. If anything, that's a greater condemnation of Israel, that they had two great prophets like that. It also means that they needed two great prophets like that. But if you'll see the first psukim, the famous first pasuk of Yeshayahu, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the vision of Yeshayahu, Asher Chozo al Yehuda the Yerushalayim, who said prophecy about Yehuda and Yerushalayim Bimei, Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda.
With the geography, because they lived in
it. It has to be more than geography. In other words, God wanted them there. But there was geography involved.
Eliyahu was Eliyahu Har Tishbi. Eliyahu Har Gil Adi. Right? Eliyahu Gilad. That means he lived in Gilad, Eber HaGadi, which was part of Malchus Yisrael. But it's obvious because God wanted them there. Eliyahu and Elisha had nothing to do with any of the kings of Yehuda. Yeshayahu had nothing to do with any. Yeshayahu is now alive. We are now in the days of. Yeshayahu started saying prophecy in the days of Uzziah. That means Yeshayahu is alive right now, but there isn't a word from Yeshayahu to the kings of Israel. Yeshayahu speaks to the kings of Yehuda. You know, sometimes you notice things that, you know, to me it was so simple I wouldn't even have thought of telling it to you. But you looked at the list, so you notice this, of course. Hosea and Amos said Nebuah only to the kings of Israel. On and on again, Amos talks about the Parot HaBashan, the fat cows of the Bashan, who are only concerned with their own well-being. He talks about Gilad, Akuva Midam, Gilad is running with blood. All of the places that Hosea talks about Shomron. He talks about Shomron in Israel all the time. You never hear him talk about Yerushalayim. Yes, but he does not talk in the main of all of the chapters. There may be a few psukim where he speaks to Yehuda, but his main message was to Yisrael. I'll prepare the information for you. We'll show you the psukim. Sure, but obviously it can't mean because it was the boy off the block and was born there. The Rebbeinu needed him there. The Rebbeinu wanted him there. The Rebbeinu would tell Leviim to go to different places. But maybe you're asking an even bigger question. Why indeed was it? Why was it so? Why couldn't the same king, the same Navi, really serve as a prophet to different kingdoms? There must be some reason that goes further than what we've said. Let's think about it.
Situations are different. Problems are different.
Listen. Oh, there was. That's a very good point. You couldn't go from Yehuda. There was no travel all the time from Yehuda to Yisrael or back, except in certain periods. Remember, in the days of Yehoshaphat, they were moving. At least leadership was moving from one place to the next. Amatziyahu hired 100,000 soldiers from Yisrael. There were times, still couldn't go to Yerushalayim. When it says, Losor mikol chatos Yerovam, when it says that they did not remove the sins of Yerovam, Yerovam is the one who made certain that Jews shouldn't be able to go to Yerushalayim. That didn't, they weren't going to Yerushalayim until when? Do you know who's going to close the checkpoints? From the time of Yehovah, the king who ends the checkpoints and he permits free access to Yerushalayim is Hosea ben Ela, the one whom we're just up to now.
Too late.
Exactly the words, perfect. It's too late. It's of course it said. It was too late. The destiny of, or the fate of Yisrael had already been sealed. Let's read a little further. Malach Yosam ben Uzziah, Malach Yehuda. Ben Ezra v'chama Yishore Yavolach Alamed Gimel, Pasuk 33. He was 25 years old when he began to rule. Yishesh Yisrael Yishore Yavolach Yerushalayim, 60 years he was king of Yerushalayim, Yishem Imo, Yerusha, Bas Tzadok. Vayas HaYosha Ben Yashem, I told you, Yosam was a good king. Kechol Asher also Uzziyahu Aviv Asa. Do you see what the Pasuk says? Do you hear what the Pasuk is saying? The Pasuk is saying that Uzziyahu, who was a Metzorah for 35 years, was also one who did HaYosha Ben Yashem. So therefore, we have only one possibility, and that is that his mistake, or his sin was a mistake. It was the result of, yes, pious enthusiasm. The high places will not be moved. The people still kept sacrificing and bringing incense on the high places. He built, and this is to his credit, that there was a major gate coming into the Beit HaMikdash on Har HaBayit that was built by him. Do you hear what it says over here? V'yeter divrei Yotam, are they not written? Are they not? Because here it says hello. But they're all the same, hello and hinam. Tzumah sefer divrei Yom Avindu. V'yamim ahem, heichel Hashem lahashliach b'Yehuda, the tzin melech haram, that Pekach ben Remaya. Yehuda also is beginning to suffer now. Who is it that God now begins to send against Yehuda? The tzin, I told you, there's still Aram, mighty empires don't disappear overnight. Mighty empires like old generals, fade away. Aram is in the process of fading away. The power that's rising is Ashur. And now there's going to be an unholy alliance between Ritzin, king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaiyahu, and they're going to come up against Yehuda. And by the way, some of the prophets of Yehuda who spoke to Yisrael, they spoke to Yisrael when Yisrael was coming against Yehuda. Pekach ben Remaiyahu and Ritzin, king of Aram, are the ones, a number of chapters in Yeshayahu deal with their attack against Yehuda. And Ritzin, Melech Aram, and Pekach ben Remaiyahu are referred to as the Shnei Zangos Ho'udim Ho'ashenim Ho'ela. Yeshayahu is going to call them what? The two smoking tails. Shnei Zangos Ho'udim Ho'ashenim. They make a lot of noise, a lot of smoke, but they're not going to they're not going to succeed against you. Ochaz is going to be an exception in the animals of the kings of Yehuda. I'm just going to go another few psukim. I have to stop at 10:14. I want to go into the next chapter, but there's going to be a whole assessment of this era in Mir Hashem next week. In the 17th year of Pekah, the king of the son of Ramayo, Molach Ochaz ben Yosam, Pekah ben Ramayo is going to be king how many years?
20.
whose side are you on?
20.
Or two. Ochaz is going to be problematic in the 17th year of Pekah ben Remaiyahu. Ochaz ben Yosam became king of Yehuda. Ben Esrim Shana Ochaz ben Molcho, he was 20 years old when he became king. Vishesh Esrim Shana Molcho Yerushalayim, and 16 years he ruled in Yerushalayim. Below Asa Hayasha Be'enei Hashem Elokav Kedavid Avid. He did not do that which was right in the eyes of God, as his father David had done. And Vayel Beterech Malchi Yisrael. No. He went in the ways of the kings of Israel. Malach. Now, Beno Hevir Be'esh does not necessarily mean that he had him burned to death. Hevir Be'esh means passed him between two pillars of fire, which was some kind of a ceremony. It was a ceremony, but it wasn't, it didn't mean that he put his son to death. Like the abominations of the nations, that God had cast them out before the children of Israel. This pasuk here is in a sense a pasuk that's beginning to lay the groundwork for ultimately what's going to happen, Churban HaBayit and the exile of the Jewish people. There are Prakim and Tanakh where it seems very clear that God pleads to be understood by his people. that there are certain things he has to do not because he wants to do them, but he does them because he has to do them. And that if anything, you're the ones that made it necessary. And here, therefore, they're going to tell us, listen, there were other nations that lived here, and those nations were removed from the land. And why were they removed from the land? Precisely because of these abominations. What they're also telling you is the associations to all of the psukim in Torah that says that you should not bring your son before the Malach, because if you do that, God is going to cast you out of the land just as he cast out the people who were there before you. In other words, all of these memory associations are there in order to establish the background for a Rabbeinu Shalom who's going to have to do something that he doesn't want to do. There's still going to be some very beautiful periods. As I say, the period of Chizkiyahu and the period of Yoshiyahu are going to be exceptional periods in Jewish history. But already you begin to see in the chapter and a half that we learned today, we see already the deterioration. Malchus Yehuda is going to have another 150 years in the land after the 10 tribes are exiled. Another 150 years. All right. Yes. Wait, but sorry, I wanted to ask a question.
It doesn't say with
Malchus, I'd have to check it. I'd have to check all the psukim and see if that's really true.
And the other thing is, when the mother's name is mentioned, it usually is the Tova, except in the Italian, but there have been very few instances where the mother's name of the king was mentioned.
There were very few? By Malchus Yehuda, all of them. All mentioned. If I'm not mistaken, by kings of Yehuda, the mothers are always mentioned. By kings of Yisrael, they were not mentioned. All right, to be continued.